Hello, and welcome to Epic People, a global community of researchers, creators, and innovators doing ethnography for impact in businesses and organizations. In this podcast series, we are focusing on reflections as we celebrate 20 years of ethnographic praxis, and as a lead up to our 20th conference in LA this August, we're looking back on our past themes, from sociality in 2005 to friction in 2023. Our conference themes from the past two decades have not lost relevance, but may well have evolved, shifted, and taken on new meanings. Epic People examines those shifts, featuring longtime and newer members of this vibrant and global community. Enjoy.
My name is John Payne, and I was co-chair of Epic in 2012. The conference theme that Simon Roberts and I came up with was renewal. Describe the theme and why you chose it. After 3 years of economic recession and the rise of the global Occupy movement, renewal was definitely a part of the cultural conversation. From September to November of 2011, during the period where the movement had occupied what they called Liberty Square in Lower Manhattan, I was teaching a course in ethnography for design. During that course, I brought a group of students down to the site to engage with the protesters, to really understand what they were trying to accomplish and imagine ways we might be able to help them. Working with my co-chair, Simon Roberts, we developed an idea around how and why we might participate in the sort of renewal that these protesters were interested in, and more broadly, what might our role in the ongoing renewal of the systems we inhabit be? We had questions like, is renewal always something to be welcomed and embraced? Are ethnographers agents of renewal, or do we have a role to play in challenging those agendas? How might we situate ourselves and respond when calls for renewal are made in or outside of the organizations where we work? What were two memorable presentations or discussions of that year's conference? Things that stood out to me were some very personal talks from people like Richard Anderson, who gave a presentation on the patient experience and spoke about his own mental health journey. Carrie Urey did an exploration of her own art practice and how it related to her work as an ethnographer. And Simon's own Peckham Poundland Post-its and the Peace Wall presentation, Pechacucha actually, was very much apropos of the moment. Each of the presentations, though personal, tackled some aspect of the role that we each play individually and collectively in seeking renewal in the systems that we inhabit. Fast forward to today, how would you interpret the theme differently or update it for today's industry? Well, the beauty of a frame like renewal is that it's an ongoing process. In 2012, ethnography's relationship to design was still becoming established. It sounds surprising now, but this was a couple of years before big tech had fully embraced ethnography, or design, really. For reference, Google's big move into design, their launch of their material design system, a visually sort of coherent system for their mobile apps, was still 2 years away at this point. Clearly, there was a lot of potential energy to capture and use. And for those of us with an established practice in the space, we were still doing a lot of evangelizing on the value of our work, but we were beginning to ask questions about what role ethnographic practice could play beyond commercial life, how we can contribute more directly into what Ken Anderson in 2019 called human flourishing in his talk. As for today, I think I have the same question. The rise of AI and the shakeout of big tech as the locus of our professional contribution has been challenging, but it also provides a necessity for us to expand our impact if we're to remain vital as a professional practice. What kind of conversations or topics are you hoping will come up with this year's themes, foundation, displacement, and generation? And what's the one thing you think researchers and ethnographers should be doing right now? I think we should be looking for ways to use our skills more entrepreneurially within and outside of the professional spheres we've been working in. It's clearly already happening, as many folks have found ways to use these foundational skills in new arenas and toward new goals. For instance, at Public Policy Lab, we're engaged in a project where we're creating a repository of real-world experiences of older adults as their lives unfold and are influenced by our country's policies regarding their healthcare and their livelihood. Our goal in this project is to bring a more nuanced human understanding directly into the policymaking landscape, hopefully for the benefit of everyone. In tech, it's a bit of a cliche at this point to say how important human understanding is and the rise of technology's rising preeminence. I mean, just today, OpenAI announced their latest update, doubling down on the human flourishes that Google was criticized for just a few years ago. In a world where technology doesn't just respond to your requests, but jokes with you, befriends you, and influences your wardrobe decisions, it's critical that the voices, stories, and lived experiences that technology is shaped around come from every walk of life, not just the boardrooms and suburban vistas of Silicon Valley. We are the people who bring those stories to light. What are three words you would use to describe the current state of ethnography in the industry? Prospecting, we're looking for new ways to provide unique value. Pensive, I think in the face of all the industry change, we are careful about how we proceed. And then finally, potent. I think we have the skills to unlock immense value, and I really want to see us take advantage of that fact. How has EPIC in general, and attending the conference in particular, contributed to your professional development? Well, I first attended EPIC in 2009, invited by a colleague to run a workshop. I immediately found a community of like-minded people who were engaged in figuring out how to make the things that we make better for everyone. As a former industrial designer and a convert to human-centered design in the late 1990s, this felt to me like a homecoming. Over the years, I've been involved a number of ways, from running salons to presenting one of the first Pechacuchas in the year that it was introduced to the conference, from having the honor of co-chairing and curating in 2012. Each one of these opportunities gave me the ability to grow in ways I wasn't able to grow in my professional career, in the midst of a community of people who are critical thinking, but supportive. Some of my deepest and most long-standing professional associations come from EPIC. I'm looking forward to being in Los Angeles in August to deepen those relationships, but also forge new ones with many of you.
Thanks for listening. As everything with EPIC, this series could not have been done without an amazing effort from volunteers and a small but mighty EPIC team. Thanks go to the EPIC People Reflections podcast team, Dustin Cascaden, Elizabeth Haywood, Evan Hanover, Marta Kachurian-Zapan, and Martha Cotton. To learn more about EPIC, attend the conference in LA from August 18th to the 21st. And to learn about other ways to be involved in our community, please go to 2024.epicpeople.org. Thanks.